Paul begins his second missionary journey in a strange way. Because we're told in Lystra he meets a young man named Timothy. Of course, this is the same Timothy that he will later write two books of the Bible to. And he recognizes that this young man is being called to be a pastor. But before continuing on his way, Paul circumcises Timothy, which probably leaves us a bit confused. Why would he do that? Because in the previous chapter, we had seen how the council at Jerusalem had said that circumcision was not necessary. The Gentiles did not need to be circumcised in order to be saved. They were just as much a part of the church without circumcision as any Jew who believed. So why then did Paul circumcise Timothy? Was he going against what the council said? Well, that can't be the case because we learn later on in this reading that he went about proclaiming the very decrees of that council. So that was not the case. And perhaps even more puzzling are things that Paul says in other places and things that he does. In Galatians 2, verse 3, for example, Paul says, "But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek." So Timothy and Titus are both Greeks. But Paul circumcises Timothy, and he absolutely refuses for Titus. That might lead us to think that he's being inconsistent, that he's doing one thing today and something else tomorrow. But also listen to what he goes on to say in the same letter to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." Paul is perfectly clear. To be circumcised is to be cut off from Christ. Circumcision counts for nothing. So why then would he say circumcision counts for nothing and also circumcise Timothy? What's going on? And on the surface, it does look like a contradiction. Like Paul is doing one thing here and another thing somewhere else. But in reality, there's no contradiction at all. Paul was right to not circumcise Titus. And Paul was also right to circumcise Timothy. Because the two situations, in reality, are not the same thing. Because in the previous chapter, we saw that the council in Jerusalem was dealing with those who said that circumcision was necessary, that the Gentiles had to be circumcised if they wanted to be saved. And the council rightly rejected that as false teaching, because circumcision was always meant as something that only was supposed to endure until the coming of Jesus. Once Jesus came, its purpose was fulfilled. All were now gathered into the church, not through circumcision, but through Christ. And that's also exactly the same thing that was happening with Titus. There were some who were trying to force him to be circumcised, saying that he had to be if he wanted to truly be a Christian. And Paul rightly, absolutely refused to go along with it. He would not circumcise Titus because that would actually contradict the gospel. It would make our works at least a part, if not the whole, of our salvation, rather than being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul was right to refuse in that case. He refused to compromise the gospel. But the situation with Timothy was different, because it was not an issue of trying to be forced to do anything. Rather, Timothy had a problematic past. Luke tells us that he was the son of a mixed marriage. His mother, whose name is Eunice, as we learn from 2 Timothy, was Jewish. And she was also a believer. She was among those who had first come to faith when Paul had passed through Lystra the first time. And we also learn from 2 Timothy that she had raised her son in faith. She had taught him the scriptures so that Timothy was well catechized. She was very serious about her faith. But Luke also tells us that Timothy's father was a Greek, by which, of course, he meant an unbeliever. And verse 3 of our reading seems to imply that his father had forbidden him to be circumcised as a child, even despite his mother's wishes. So Timothy had grown up then as an uncircumcised Jew before he came to faith through the influence of his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. But you also see some of the problem with Timothy's past in their names. I mean, Eunice and Timothy are Greek names. That suggests that the family was more Greek than Jewish. It probably meant that Eunice, along with Lois and Timothy, were probably unusual for believing in God at all. All of this meant Timothy was caught in a conundrum. Was he Jewish or was he Greek? Now, of course, a question like that doesn't matter when it comes to salvation, because who you are and where you come from doesn't matter one bit when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Because as Paul says, in him there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, because all are one in him. And even if you have a troubled past like Timothy did, by faith you are now a new creation in Jesus Christ. So circumcision did not make him a Christian. He was already a Christian before Paul came. However, a question like that, is Timothy Jewish or is he Greek, has a way of occupying other people's minds. Maybe they got around to gossiping. They would talk about Timothy and his troubled family whenever they thought nobody was listening. And maybe the question would also cause problems further down the road. Because for the Jews, an uncircumcised Jew was offensive. They thought that he wasn't really a Jew at all. God made it perfectly clear in the Old Testament that if you did not circumcise your son on the eighth day, he would be cut off from Israel. He would not be an heir of the promise. So to them, Timothy was an apostate. He was always an outsider, no matter what he did. And Paul, associating with Timothy, could also run into problems. Because what kind of man hangs around a guy like that? You can't take him seriously in anything. And honestly, even for the Gentiles, it could cause problems too. Because in their minds, Jews are supposed to be circumcised, right? That's part of what it means to be Jewish. So what do you mean that he isn't? Is he something else? Is he actually a Jew? Is he actually a Greek? We aren't really sure. And on and on and on the questions go, probably without any hope of answering them. But you can already see how distracting all of this is. They end up being so focused on Timothy that they never get around to talking about Jesus at all. A question like this can get in the way of the gospel. So Paul does not circumcise Timothy in order to save him. Everything else we've seen so far has made that perfectly clear. Rather, Paul circumcises Timothy to get rid of the distraction, to get them to stop talking about who Timothy is, so that they can focus on the real question of who Jesus is. And Paul does the right thing then with both Titus and Timothy. He was right to refuse to circumcise Titus so that circumcision would not get in the way of Jesus. And he was right to circumcise Timothy so that circumcision would not get in the way of Jesus. His focus is always on the cross of Christ, so that all may hear and be saved. And we too, Christians, are called to walk in wisdom and in patience, and to not do anything that would cause someone else to stumble, so that in everything that we do, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and point others toward him. But how do we know what to do? How do we know when to do something and when not to do something? How do we make sure that we're not getting in the way of the gospel? Well, we have to ask ourselves if this is, in fact, a stumbling block. And not to do it so that we fall into false teaching or that we give up on the truth. That is never an option. But we must learn to know when and how to clear the way so that others can hear the truth and have nothing in the way. And when we do that, it is also important that we call on God in prayer to lead us in the right way and call on him to clear away all of those obstacles so that others may hear the gospel without distraction and come to a living faith through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, lead us to walk in peace and to not put a stumbling block in the way of anyone, so that we may bear witness to the hope within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.